the keys to success for any runner, but especially you who have had proximal hamstring tendon pain, you got to run slower. So stop running too fast. Don't care about pace. Don't even look at pace. If anything, if you're looking at pace, I want you to be looking at, can I play the game of how slow can I run?
If you are constantly worried about getting injured or you don't know how to get faster as a runner and you want to continue to run for stress relief, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Healthy Runner, the only place that provides you with training tips, injury recovery, and prevention tools with actionable strategies by experts in the running industry so you can develop a stronger running body and feel confident that you can overcome any obstacle as a runner. I'm your host, Dr. Dwayne Scotty, avid runner, running physical therapist and coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, where we help dedicated runners get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running with the perfect online running coach, even if you've been told to stop running with an injury or you think coaching is just for fast runners. Learn more about our signature coaching program at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Every week, we help a runner just like you learn how to consistently get in your mental clearing miles and even hit PRs well into your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or follow the show on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. Before we get into this episode, if you are recovering from an injury and you want to make sure you are maximizing your nutrition to become a healthy runner, you'll want to check out Heal from the Amino Company. Later on in this episode, I will tell you more about Heal and how it can help you with your injuries and overall recovery. Or you can check out the research yourself at aminoco.com/healthyrunner.
Do you get pain in your butt right under your glute that gets worse when you sit for work after a run, especially if you're running any hills or you did a long run? Do you just dread long car rides or sitting on hard surfaces? Like so many of you, I thought that I should just stretch my hamstring and stop running, and that would solve my problem. Unfortunately, that is probably the worst thing you can do to overcome this stubborn pain in the butt. Today, I want to talk about what is high hamstring tendon pain or proximal hamstring tendinopathy, commonly referred to as PHT. Why do runners get PHT? And what are the symptoms of proximal hamstring tendon pain? So you're not misdiagnosed with piriformis syndrome or SI joint dysfunction or low back pain. So if you stick around long enough, you are going to get my latest new and improved top four tips for getting over PHT as a runner. If this is our first introduction, first off, welcome. I'm Dr. Dwayne Scotty. I'm a running physical therapist, run coach, educator, and founder of Spark Healthy Runner. And my mission is to preserve the health and longevity of runners everywhere by allowing them to get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. And I do have a freebie resource for you that will complement what we're going to talk about and you are going to learn about today. So just click the link in the show notes to download the updated Spark Healthy Runner free resource, The Ultimate Hamstring Guide for Runners. And it has a new instructional video of an exercise that has been the best exercise that I've been loving and giving to my clients. So make sure you get the new download because you're gonna like this video. And I have helped hundreds and hundreds of runners overcome this stubborn chronic condition that is literally a pain in the butt, both as a traditional physical therapy clinician when I used to work in the clinic and now virtually through my signature one-on-one virtual coaching program that I've been doing exclusively for the last 3 years, where I am your running physical therapist and coach, guiding you back to running without hamstring pain. And by the way, in case you haven't noticed yet, this is not an injury most PTs know how to treat in runners. And there are a few out there, and hopefully you've seen one that does know a little bit about, but I've seen many that have seen PTs, and unfortunately, they don't know a whole lot about this injury. So this is very unique. And I wanted to share the best tips for hamstring injury exercise that I've learned over my 20 plus year career as a physical therapist and coach. And everyone responds slightly different, but the strategies I outline in the ebook will set you up for success in utilizing the most evidence-informed treatment we have on this somewhat mythical condition. And if you are a frustrated runner who has already been to a physical therapist and they really just said, stop running, they gave you some heat, ice, massage, some hamstring stretches, and you know, maybe a doctor told you to consider injections or surgery, please keep listening to this training right now and then download the ebook to get all of the valuable content and resources that's included in there. Because as you will soon find out, the best way to get you back to running and get rid of this butt pain forever looks much different than what you've been told and experienced in the past. And here's my little teaser, is you don't have tight hamstrings, even though they feel tight to you. And if you try to stretch them, you're going to really see quickly that that is not getting it better. So make sure, download the ebook that I have, or you can just go to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to download it for yourself. So now let's get into what is proximal hamstring tendinopathy, or high hamstring tendon pain, or hamstring tendinitis. The most common, really, honestly, in runners that I see, the most common reason why runners have buttock pain is because of this condition. And the hamstrings, if we break this down, are the muscles on the back of our thigh. It's made up of three different muscles that attach right to your sit bone. So we have the biceps femoris, it's the hamstring muscle on the outside. Then we got two on the inside, your semimembranosus, your semitendinosus. These muscles work together to help bend your knee and also extend your hip. So they are a very powerful muscle group for really kind of pushing off for propulsion when we run, but they also slow down the forward swing of your foot while you're running. And these muscles really connect, like I mentioned, to that sit bone. So it's the ischial tuberosity. It's the bone that we basically sit on. And this is in the back of your pelvis. And when there is irritation of the tendon connection to the bone, that creates this very localized pain right underneath your cheek, essentially. And that's where, you know, most of my clients, and even before we start working together, I always have them like show me, describe to exactly where they're getting their pain. And some people kind of describe it more on like the inner part. So it's almost like up in your groin area if you're getting more of the medial tendon irritation. So why do we kind of get irritation here? It's really micro tears essentially that's happening in the tendon as it connects to the bone that is causing pain in that upper thigh region that you're having. So let's talk now, what causes proximal hamstring tendinopathy or this high hamstring tendon pain? This is what we consider an overuse injury. It is basically we've loaded the tendon a little too much too soon. However, I will tell you, it is not only just an issue with you doing too much with your running. There is usually a contributing factor and causative factor that had this happen to begin with, because most runners, if they just stop running and they take 3 months off, like my latest client that I'm just started working with, Brian, did, the pain doesn't get any better. So it's not only the fact of, hey, you've been running, so just stop running, you won't have this hamstring tendon pain. A lot of times it is more of, we have to get down and address the root cause. So some of these things that happen, especially with runners, is continuous loading and tension to this area. So when you're running, especially let's say like on a long run, every time you push off and land, your hamstring is absorbing some of that force. And running requires this repetitive bending of the knee, extension of the hip. Meanwhile, the hamstrings are forced to contract and relax to be able to move at the hip and the knee. So there's this kind of continuous cycle of loading and tension that happens at the tendon site. And there's pain in the hamstring itself. So the pain that runners experience with this condition comes from strain of this muscle that begins to put tension on the actual tendon and its attachment site. So the common location, like I mentioned, is on right at that sit bone area and causes that pain right in the butt. This is not a muscle problem. It is a tendon problem. And if it was a muscle problem, honestly, it'd be healing a lot quicker, because most of you who probably found this training right now have at least had pain for probably, I would imagine, 3 months. Most of you, probably more than 50% of you, 6 months. And there's a bunch of you guys who have had it for years now, right? Muscles do well. They heal. You get some scarring down. There's great blood flow into the muscle. The tendon, not great blood flow. And most of you who've had this condition are in your 40s, like I am, in your 50s and 60s. And as we age, unfortunately, the blood flow to our tendons and tendon healing capacity diminishes. So unfortunately, the resilience isn't there in our tendons as they were when we were, let's say, in our 20s. So the other misnomer that I just want to kind of bring up is that this is not a tendonitis, and there's not an active inflammatory response only. What happens is more of this chronic degenerative condition to the tendon that we usually call like a tendinosis. So this is where you had some inflammation initially, maybe you went on a super long run or you did a super hilly route. You've really increased your speed on a hillier route. And then you know what? You sit for your job all day long. So now you kind of irritated the tendon and then you sat on it for a really long time. And if you were like my wife during tax season, she sat on her dining room table chair during tax season and she wound up getting this condition because she wasn't sitting on a great chair to begin with. And she was really running and working that hamstring and wound up getting this issue. So this will eventually lead to kind of this degenerative change to the tendon and could eventually lead to a partial tear of that tendon. And then if you really leave it untreated, then the whole thing can kind of come off of the actual bone where you get a complete rupture of the tendon. Rarely does this need surgery. Are there certain instances where you do need surgery? Yes. For partial tears, I would highly recommend that you don't have a surgeon do surgery on a partial tear, because those can heal. And I have helped many clients, even with a partial tear, be able to get back to running, and those will heal, those will scar down. So that's kind of what you know, would experience as a runner and why runners tend to get this condition. Cyclists also get this condition. There are some non-runners that I actually have helped just because this is such a rare condition. Like I mentioned before, not every medical provider has seen a lot of these, so they don't really know the best management. But I've seen folks who have gotten this pain after really sitting on hard surfaces with their knees bent, or if you sat on the floor on a hard surface with the knee bent, then that can kind of trigger these symptoms and wind up getting this condition. So what are some of those signs and symptoms? So how do you know if you have proximal hamstring tendinopathy? You're going to have like this burning pain in the upper thigh area right below your sit bone. You're going to, you know, most of my clients may describe it as either burning pain or a dull achiness. So it's like sore. Sometimes it could be sore at the beginning of a run if the tissue irritability is high. But most of my clients, honestly, when we start working together, it is usually sore in the middle and the end of the run or after the run, especially if you sit for a long period of time. Pain is always going to really increase with running up a hill, because running up a hill flexes the hip joint a little bit more. When we flex the hip joint, that actually puts compression to the proximal hamstring tendon. So running up inclines, running up a hill is usually going to trigger this, as well as the pressure of sitting, especially on a hard surface, especially for long periods of time. So we definitely want to avoid prolonged sitting. And usually the car is one of the worst because of the angle of the hip. So, you know, unless you're like driving in a Mack truck or, you know, a big Suburban and your seats are really high, or you're in like a pickup truck, you know, most of our cars and even our sports utility vehicles have you sit where your knee is a little higher than the hip. So the first, you know, tip I would give you, a little bonus tip here. I wasn't planning on getting to tips yet, but bonus tip is to make sure you raise your car seat as high as possible. For someone who's on the taller end, like myself, that really doesn't work because my head almost gets to the ceiling and then I'm like too high for my visual field of driving. But, you know, for those of you who are shorter, that will definitely work out well, as long as you can reach the pedal still, of course. You know, we want to promote safe driving here. So that's really the signs and symptoms that you're going to have with this condition. It's very localized right underneath the butt cheek, not in the middle of the butt cheek. If you're getting pain in like the middle of the butt cheek, then that's where we would start to think about piriformis syndrome. However, I will tell you, like 50% of the folks that I work with, you know, have been misdiagnosed by PTs, chiros, whoever, medical provider, as piriformis syndrome. Piriformis syndrome, number one, is truly very rare. It is very rare and usually overly diagnosed. So the most common causes of kind of buttock pain, especially in a runner, is really going to be the PHD. That's my first go-to that I'm ruling out. But then we also need to look at the lumbar spine. And is it actually L4, L5, nerve roots, disc issues, facet joint that can refer pain to the butt area? But like I said, all of that is usually the middle of the butt. So, you know, you got to rule those out. Piriformis syndrome is not that common, guys. So I know a lot of you have been told you have piriformis syndrome, or you thought you did, and you've been like rolling your piriformis and doing some piriformis stretches and it's not getting better. It's because most likely, if it's everything I described to you already, it is this proximal hamstring tendon pain or high hamstring tendinopathy, upper hamstring tendon pain. So now that we've covered what is it, and you know, if you actually have it, now coming up next, I'm gonna actually share with you my latest new and improved top 4 tips for getting over PHT as a runner.
I know there are many of you out there who tuned into today's episode and you're battling frustrating injuries that just won't go away. Hey, trust me, I've been there. I had proximal hamstring tendinopathy when I first started running, which was literally a pain in the butt. And I do what I do today to share how I learned how to get over running injuries and how to train properly to prevent them. One product I consistently recommend to the athletes I work with and who are recovering from an injury, whether it's Achilles, hamstring, or posterior tibial tendon pain, plantar fasciitis, or iliotibial band syndrome, is Heal from the Amino Company. The reason I do this is because an often neglected aspect of injury recovery and becoming a lifelong injury-free, healthy runner is the nutritional component. So for injuries to properly heal and to allow the body to recover faster, you must supply your body with the nutrients it needs to accelerate muscle repair while helping maintain a healthy inflammatory response. And that is what the Amino Company's product Heal does better than any other product I have seen on the market as a physical therapist who works with a lot of runners struggling with reoccurring injuries. I want to share with you the results of a recent clinical trial in a way you can understand. Participants basically had less muscle breakdown and faster muscle repair using Heal when compared to high quality whey protein. If you're looking for a nutritional advantage while recovering from that stubborn injury of yours, and even recovering from your daily training if you are a healthy runner, I highly recommend giving Heal a try. I recommend it to all the athletes that I work with coming back from injury, doing a run, return to run program, or if they're struggling to recover after hard workout sessions. Since you're a part of our Healthy Runner community, you can get a special 30% off using the code HEALTHYRUNNER. Just head to amino.com/HEALTHYRUNNER. You have to use the special link I put in the show notes to get your 30% off using code HEALTHYRUNNER. Go ahead and take action to set your body up with the optimal environment to recover and get out of that injury cycle. Now let's get back into this episode.
A let's get into my top four tips. And these are actually new hot takes, by the way. These are not in the download, the blueprint that I mentioned to you before. These are like brand new and improved. And like I said, literally 50% of the clients that I work with have this condition. So I've learned a lot about it through my experience in working with so many runners with this. So number one tip, don't use sitting to determine when you should run. So what do I mean by that? Don't use the pain that you have with sitting as saying, you know what, I'm still having pain, I shouldn't run. Because pain with sitting as a judge on whether or not you should run or not run is the worst thing you can do. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be super inconsistent with returning to run. So you're going to kind of get back into running for a week or two. And then you're like, wow, man, I'm feeling more pain with sitting. So I should probably stop for a week, or I should stop running for 2 weeks. And I'm going to try it again. Like, have you done that before? I'm sure you probably have, because literally like 99.9% of the runners that work with me with this condition have done this before. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work, right? Like, that's the worst thing you can do to get over this condition, is not be consistent with your return to run program. And pain with sitting is not a great judge of if you're getting better with this condition. Tip number two, passive treatments won't work. I'm just going to be flat honest with you. If you're listening to this training in the early phases of your PHT, passive treatments, whether it's an injection, modalities, so stuff that a PT can do, whether it's ultrasound, e-stim, hot pack, cold pack, like, that won't work. And honestly, just getting massage, and even just doing instrument-assisted soft tissue massage. I did actually a deep dive training on this condition 4 years ago, right before the pandemic. And I probably talked about instrument-assisted soft tissue massage, dry needling, things like that, that I used to do when I was seeing clients in the clinic. And it would help from a pain relief standpoint. But if that's all you're getting, and you're not getting the specific exercises that are going to help load the tendon and correct the muscle imbalances, those passive treatments won't do anything for you. And how do I know that? Because literally in the last 4 years, I've been working with hundreds of clients who have this condition, and I am not dry needling them through my computer. I am not massaging their hamstring through my computer. I am not putting a hot pack on them, a cold pack, and they are getting better and they are able to run. So I can flat out tell you now, you know, over 4 years ago, and I'm sure in that training 4 years ago, I probably mentioned something about it. But like, I can tell you, they're not going to work if that's all you're doing. They are a nice little ancillary, maybe a little complimentary, just to make you feel good, honestly, for the short term. But the long-term fix is going to be specific loading to the hamstring tendon. Now, I'm going to try not to get on a soapbox here. It is not just strengthening your hamstrings, first off. So I do have a specific recipe, if you will, that I've put together, because I have trialed this with so many clients by now. I've seen some kind of recommendations out there by kind of just doing hamstring strengthening, whether or not you are like, oh, just do RDLs and just do, you know, deadlifts, just do hamstring strengthening. Because I think the message has gotten out that yes, the treatment, the best treatment for this condition is to actually load the tendon and strengthen. That is true. However, this problem is unique because it's the upper hamstring tendon. So I don't give any of my clients prone hamstring curls or lying on their stomach and bending their knee up and down, because honestly, that works more the distal part of the hamstring. And I haven't needed to give that to anyone. I have other exercises that are go-tos for this condition. You'll get them in the download. And so that's my first kind of mini rant there, is you just can't do any exercises for the hamstring. And it has to be properly progressed and loaded, depending upon where you are in your stage of tendon healing. And it's just not only on time. It's not only if you've only had pain for a couple of months, let's say you're one of the lucky ones I mentioned, or if you've had pain 3 years, like, it depends upon how irritable is the tendon. And someone who is really knowledgeable with tendon healing will be able to determine what is your level of tissue irritability. Is it low, or is it high, or is it in the middle? And then we guide the specific exercise, whether or not you're doing what we call an isometric exercise, whether or not you're doing an eccentric only exercise or slow lowering, whether or not you're doing eccentrics with concentrics, right? Like, what is the position of your hip joint? That's going to be a factor in getting this tendon to heal. So if you're never actually flexing the hip joint, then you're not going to really target the proximal hamstring tendon. But if you flex the hip joint too much in, let's say, a standing position with RDLs, you're going to flare the thing up and it's never going to get better. So again, there is some specific positions, types of exercises that are very critical for getting over this condition. So I don't want you to be discouraged if you've like went to a PT before and they like gave you exercise and you're like, I never got better. I was doing exercise. It might have not been the right exercise, honestly. All right. The other thing that's so important with exercise and treatment is not only hamstring tendon loading, but we have to correct muscle imbalances. And the most common muscle imbalance that I see in my runners is glutes that are inactive, or what we call hamstring dominance. That you've been using your hamstrings in order to run up that hill as a primary hip extensor instead of the big beefy glute in the back. That should be your primary hip extensor. So I see so many runners who have kind of these glutes that are just like, they're there. Okay, let's like, I don't want to be like super dramatic here and say like, you have no glutes and you have, you know, you can't fire your glutes. It's not that you can't fire your glutes. It's more of a neuromuscular connection. And it's more of a timing issue that you kick in the hamstrings first and then you kick the glute in. We want the glutes to kick in first. So we need to retrain the glutes how to work. Does that mean you need to do these retraining exercises forever? And let's say, I don't know, maybe you did a clamshell in the past for like when you went to PT who wanted to strengthen your glutes. Like, does that mean you do clamshells forever? No, that does not. That means you need to activate the muscle first and then strengthen it. Now, I just came back from conference a couple of months ago. There's been some great literature out there on the best activation exercise for the glute max. And this was new to me. This was a new one. And I was like, everything else I was presenting, I was like, yeah, I've been doing this for years. And okay, this is good to get some like evidence that shows that it actually does what we theoretically say it's going to do, right? So the best glute activation exercise is the fire hydrant exercise with a mini band. And there's a specific way how to do that. I just actually posted a brand new instructional exercise video. Super excited about this because since conference, I definitely try myself. I always try things myself for a while before I ever give it to a client of mine. But I tried it myself for a while. Excellent exercise. Felt it exactly where I needed to feel the burn, right in the glute area, kind of the back side of the hip. Perfect spot for what we need as runners to help stabilize our pelvis, right? So I honestly never had DOMS or delayed onset muscle soreness in my glutes like ever when I work out. I did that exercise before I did some deadlifts and even added some mini band with the deadlifts. Man, were my glutes sore. So this has been a great exercise. I love how it kind of turns on my glutes. I do a couple of reps before my runs, a couple of reps before my gym workouts. And now I've tried it with many clients now who have PHT and they're loving it. And I love the results that I'm getting for glute activation. So if you listen to my training, my deep dive training on PHT 4 years ago, I probably had like glute activation series that I like to go through. Not to say those are bad, but honestly, I've condensed it now. And to be a little bit more efficient, the fire hydrant exercise is the exercise to go. So if you go to the Spark Healthy Runner YouTube channel, you'll see it there. But I'm going to link it within the free download as well. So you're going to get that brand new exercise. So important to strengthen or first activate. Got to activate first and then strengthen the glute max in order to take stress off of the hamstring tendon, especially the proximal hamstring part, while you're running. So that was a long tip too. I am sorry. My apologies. As you can see, I'm really passionate about the strengthening piece of things. So yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to go on a really mini rant there and go on too long.
I hope you are enjoying this episode and it is providing value for you. I wanted to take a brief moment to share a story of a real runner like you who is struggling with a common problem that you may be facing. Here is one of our athletes who got the guidance, support, and accountability from our Healthy Runner coaching team to get clarity and structure on the 6 steps to growing as a runner with personalized strength, nutrition, and run plans. I hope their story inspires you that there is hope to either get over your running injury or to continue getting faster or running longer so you can continue to get in those mental clearing miles and enjoy your running journey again. Here is their inspiring story.
Hi, my name is Amanda and I have been working with Dr. Scotty and the Healthy Runner team for about 3 months. And this morning I did a tempo run and I felt strong and powerful. And most incredibly, I was pain free. And I am so excited about this and about the progress I have made in the past 3 months that I just want to tell all runners what's possible. I have been a runner since I was a teenager. And in those 2.5 decades of running, I have always had some sort of little niggle or have felt like I'm on the verge of a huge injury. I could not confidently challenge myself with speed or progress in mileage. And I have never really known how to take the steps to get past that. About 3 years ago, I found Dr. Scotty's podcast and I listened to every single episode. I learned so much from what I was listening to and watching videos. But also in that time, I had developed a really bad hamstring pain, and I couldn't quite shake it. Through listening to Dr. Scotty's podcast, I could still run. But I didn't know what to do to take the steps to heal it. And so I continued running and I even ran a marathon, but I always was held back because of the pain. I felt like I really couldn't push myself because I just had this nagging pain. And finally, I decided that my options were to either stop running completely, run with pain forever, or to call Dr. Scotty. And I'm so, so glad I called Dr. Scotty. I told him in our initial meeting that my goal was not to run a specific race, but it was to become a strong and durable runner while also increasing my mileage and to heal that hamstring. And Dr. Scotty did a detailed assessment in which he found some weaknesses that were affecting my running form and economy, and he developed a plan, a strength and running plan for me to follow. And after 3 months, I am running 30 miles a week, and I'm doing strength workouts that seemed impossible. But the most valuable thing isn't what I thought it was. I thought it was going to be healing my hamstring, but the most valuable thing was that Dr. Scotty helped give me confidence to see that I am a strong runner who can handle a higher training load and also really work toward bigger goals. And in our very first meeting, I told Dr. Scotty that I had this deep fear that this wasn't going to work for me and that I was just always going to be a runner that would run with pain and that it would always be a struggle for me. And when I told him that, he didn't even hesitate. He just told me he was so excited because he knew what was possible with the right tools. And now I share in his excitement because his expertise and his encouragement and his confidence really genuinely, I believe, changed my trajectory as a runner. And so now I'm not just pain-free, I'm excited to continue to get stronger and faster. And now I believe I have the tools to do it.
I hope sharing that story inspired you and provided you some hope. If you want the one-on-one structure, accountability, and support from our Healthy Runner coaching team of experts, check out the behind-the-scenes video tour of our signature coaching program you just heard about, including other stories from runners who are just like you and were struggling with the same sticking points before they signed up for our program. Just head to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to learn more and book your strategy call with me today. Now let's get back into this episode.
Let's get tip number 3. Hills and speed will be last. Again, hills and speed will be last. So if you live in a really hilly area around your house, and when you go for a run, you walk out your front door and everything's elevation, those runners of mine, I say, okay, can you drive to a local park area, track, rails to trail? Can we get some flat, you know, bike path? Can we run on there first for the first month of us working together in our kind of restorative phase? So hills and speed will come last, because both require increased hip flexion motion. So your hip bends, and when our hip bends, that causes more compression to the tendon, like what happens when you're sitting. So that's why you need to be careful with your elevations and not push. Try to seek out flat terrain for a while until your symptoms are getting better. And more importantly, you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger, and then you start to reintroduce some of the easier elevations, because your glutes are doing what they should be doing to get you up that hill. And then speed. Like, you have to embrace the easy run. I don't care if you've never even, you know, maybe you listen to the all like run slower to run faster, and you're like, I've never needed to do that. I can always run. My easy run's in the 8-minute range, 9-minute range. And I've been totally fine up until this point. Okay, now you got PHT, so something caught up to you, right? And sometimes it's, as we age, our tendons aren't as healthy, so you need to embrace the easy run. Running slower is going to cause less hip flexion with your running stride, decreases the compression on the tendon. So you need to run slow and easy. And think of it, it's not only for tendon healing, but you know what? You're going to get the other benefit of building a nice, solid, aerobic base. You're going to build up that aerobic capacity. So when you do get fully back to running without any hamstring pain, you're actually going to be a better endurance athlete, because now you got this like solid engine to run with. You've built out the aerobic capacity, and then you start to work on some specific speed work, faster running, pick your spots, structure it out, then you're going to be able to take off. So that's the keys to success for any runner, but especially you who have had proximal hamstring tendon pain. You got to run slower. So stop running too fast. Don't care about pace. Don't even look at pace. If anything, if you're looking at pace, I want you to be looking at, can I play the game of how slow can I run with like decent form? Not slow and sloppy, bad form, but how slow can you run? That's going to be key for you with getting over this condition. Fourth tip here, you got to be patient. The sitting pain is going to take longer, and it could take up to a year, but you're going to be able to improve in function, meaning you're going to be able to run again consistently, get those mental clearing miles in. And I just want you to know to not be afraid if pain with sitting is not going away initially. You have to be patient. That's going to be the last thing that actually goes away. All right. So in this training here, let's kind of bring this full circle. You learned what is high hamstring tendinopathy, or PHT, proximal hamstring tendinopathy. You learned really what you need to do about it to fix it for good so you can run again. In four tips, we just shared that. The how you get rid of this pain is really done with proper structure, guidance, and support. And if you don't have a local practitioner who can do that for you, that's exactly what we do with our Healthy Runner coaching program. And if you've been struggling to like overcome this hamstring pain and you want clarity and focus on how to overcome your stubborn PHT, like, I would love to be your running physical therapist and coach to guide you back to crushing whatever running goal that you have, whether it is to run your first 5K, run a half marathon, you know, run a first marathon, run your 20th marathon, right? We do see this a lot in our marathoners. So, you know, I would love to be your guide in mastering the 6 key steps of your running journey. And it is mindset. And with this injury, we focus a lot on mindset, strength training, which is really, really important for getting over this, and then the structured run plan to make sure that you're not doing too much too soon. You're not being your own worst enemy. I'm going to hold you back. I'm going to structure that out for you so it is properly progressed. We're keeping it on the flats. You're not running too fast, and we're allowing appropriate rest days. How many days a week are we running, right? We're going to structure all that out for you, including the nutrition, which is important for tendon healing, recovery, which is super important. And, you know, like the client that I just met this past week for his second session, Brian, who is 4 weeks into the program, and he's feeling like his glutes are working for the first time, all while actually, because he's a trail runner, still running trails with some elevation. And before we started working together, he thought he might have to quit running or just live with this pain forever. And after he stopped running, because his doctor told him to stop, he stopped for 3 months. You know what? He was no better off. And he still had the pain and wasn't able to run. Luckily, he found some of the content that I have on this condition and he reached out. And I'm so glad that he did, because like literally after 4 weeks of us working together, I put this in quotes because I just love hearing this and I love providing hope for hopefully you who are listening to this, whether or not we work together or not. But like Brian said, I'm feeling stronger. My hips are more stable. He said, I'm feeling stronger running the last few weeks. And only 4 weeks into the program, he's telling me he's 50% better and running double digit long runs. And this is after months and months and months of pain. Or Lisa, who got her 18th, like this is freaking amazing, isn't this? Boston qualifying time after not running a marathon for 2 years due to injuries. Lisa got guidance on the running specific exercises her body needed to overcome her hamstring pain. She was able to get to the start line healthy for the first time in 2 years and qualify for another Boston marathon that she would actually have just completed this past Monday by the time you listen to this recording. So I'm actually recording this the day before the epic Boston Marathon. So I'm so excited to cheer Lisa on tomorrow and root for her and follow her on the app. But she was able to get back to Boston, right? And to get her qualifying time again after getting the strength specific exercise. Or like Teresa, who was battling PhD for many years, trying to run her best at the Marine Corps Marathon. She tried to run at Philly, but her times were always limited by her hamstring pain. So Teresa was actually a long time, corresponder. She was on the fence, honestly, about working together because she was really hesitant and didn't know if virtual physical therapy coach was like going to help her problem. And we actually spoke on the phone 2 times within the last 2 years and corresponded many times via email back and forth because I thought she was ready to go. She was like ready to invest in her health and in her running. And, you know, she was still hesitant. I'm so happy she finally made the commitment after Philly and we did meet and that our lives, our paths crossed because she was finally ready to make a change. And after the completion of our 16 weeks of working together that just finished, she was able to get to the start line of the New York City Half Marathon and is not having pain with running and only 2 to 4 out of 10 intermittent pain with sitting. Because remember what I said before, the sitting pain is going to come last. And Teresa had this pain for years. She was literally just running through it. Kind of like one of our, you know, like myself, I'm kind of a stubborn runner, right? So most importantly, like I was super excited for the fact that she was able to enjoy the race and the whole New York City experience and be able to actually race it and like run it hard without getting a flare up of her hamstring pain. Where previously, when she tried to run races, she would always have a flare, right? So, and that's because she's really kind of getting stronger. And this is what she actually just emailed me recently. She said, I truly feel I am getting stronger with every run and strength session. I so appreciated your guidance going into the New York City half and debriefing with you afterwards to realize that I am moving forward steadily in my running journey and I'm on the way to hitting new milestones with a better mindset and stronger body. So guys, this is possible. And this is why I'm sharing these stories with you. So Lisa actually, not Lisa, Teresa, will actually begin working with Coach Lou on our team to now build a strong foundation that we like continue the strong foundation that we really started and built now that her pain is better and that it's not a symptom thing. So then she can be able to BQ, which she's been dreaming about, and because she couldn't in the past because she had this hamstring pain. So I'm looking forward to seeing Coach Lou now begin to work with her on speed and spicy long runs for her to get that Boston qualifying time at the Green River Marathon in Vermont this year. Or Mary, who I interviewed in episode 203 on the Health Runner podcast. If you haven't listened to it, it's a gem, honestly. Go back and listen to that. Mary detailed her journey and how she went from being depressed after she made the difficult decision to cancel running the Detroit Free Press Marathon like a day or two before the race because her pain was so bad. She could barely walk, and she really found with us working together the exact steps to safely get back into running because she wasn't running after that. So we got her back into running. And then she was able to crush her marathon debut in the New York City Marathon this past November. And I've had like the pleasure to witness Mary's transformation firsthand as her running PT and coach through this program. And I'm just so grateful to be able to work with Mary and so many clients just like Mary who have had this pain. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because if you guys haven't heard my backstory, and I don't even know if I mentioned this earlier, but this was my first running related injury that I got. And I was frustrated as a PT because I didn't know anything about this injury. Because like I said, it's unique. It's unique. Most PTs don't learn about this. I would always teach my PT students how to treat this and make sure they can diagnose it. They could diagnose it and be able to treat it. So if you're currently battling like this PHT that forced you to stop running, it's my hope that this really provides you some inspiration that it is possible to overcome this stubborn pain in the butt and get back to the thing you love doing, which is running. And I know it's scary. I know you feel defeated. And if you're like Mary, if you're like Teresa, then you've probably already stopped running for a period of time. You went to rehab. Maybe you tried dry needling. Heck, you may have even hired a run coach. But if the pain always seems to come back and you can't get back to what you were doing before the injury, then you really need to reach out to us. Like I said, this is pretty much like our specialty here at Spark Healthy Runner. So learn more about the coaching program, how I can help you be able to overcome this PHT pain at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/coaching. Make sure you get your free download on overcoming PHT. Click the link in the show notes. And hopefully you found this insightful. Hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully you learned something today. Like, that's my passion as an educator, is to really educate our running community. This is one of those injuries that everyone doesn't know about. So if you learn anything, honestly, copy this link, share it with someone you know. If they have PHT, definitely share it with them. Please, please share it with them if they have hamstring pain. But even if a runner has another injury, share with them this, whether it's the YouTube channel or the podcast, because we've done other injuries deep dives just like this on the podcast. So that would greatly help me be able to help more runners and really preserve the health, right, of our running community. So thank you in advance for doing that. Copy the link, share it with a running buddy of yours. As always, runners, let's maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and let's just keep on running. Until next time.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Healthy Runner podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. If you found this content valuable, here's 5 ways we can help you grow as a runner for free. 1, grab a free copy of my Spark Blueprint at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. 2, follow my Instagram page at Spark Healthy Runner. 3, join my free group by searching Healthy Runner on Facebook. 4, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/SparkHealthyRunner. 5, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more experts in the running field and bring those lessons back to you here. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcast or the follow button on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode of Healthy Runner, so you can maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and just keep running. Lastly, if you've been struggling with the constant injury cycle, not eating the right foods for running, or not getting faster as a runner, and you are ready to invest in becoming a lifelong injury-free runner, head to sparkhealthyrunner.com to apply for a one-on-one signature coaching program. Thank you again. I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate you for listening and sharing this podcast with a running friend who can use the help. Now go and crush your run today. See you next week.